Jack's mother threw the beans out the window and sent Jack off to bed without his supper. It's an old, familiar fairy tale. The next morning, when Jack awoke, he looked outside and was astonished to see a giant beanstalk reaching up so high it disappeared into the clouds. All Jack did was go to sleep, and growth happened all by itself. It was magic. Or so it goes. In Jesus' time, the farmers experienced a different kind of magic. It was more of a mystery, really. Mystery and wonderment appear to be what Jesus was trying to capture in this strange little parable about seeds and sleeping, which we find only in the Gospel of Mark. Farmers planted seed and watched as an amazing life cycle unfolded, first the stalk, then the head, and finally the full grain appeared. For them, it was a mystery. They simply planted the seed, tended it the best they could, and watched as each stayed appear. They didn't know how it happened. They just knew that somehow it did. And when the time was right, they harvested all of that grain, and that was the abundance. All that blessing, all that we won't starve this year from a little bit of seeds. We've lost some of that wonderment and awe of this story because we know more about how that all happens. Over the centuries, advanced science has unraveled some of that mystery. It has allowed us to hybridize seeds, to cultivate additives into the soil, even to set up irrigation systems to adjust watering for maximum yield. We go, oh, we know how that goes. We feel we have control over the process. Yet for all that we can do to enhance, the truth is little has changed since Jesus' time. Seeds still will grow as they will grow. We can aid, we can fuss, but harvest still comes when it comes. So far from being a detriment, I would see our knowledge as another way to stand in awe and wonder. It is not a mystery because we do have a better view, and the many intricacies that need to fall into place to see such wonderful growth should amaze us. We appreciate this mystery from a different vantage point. So let's hold that appreciation, that awe, that wonder, and allow that to open us to hear what Jesus is trying to convey. The kingdom of God is like. Jesus reached for common images to try to describe the incomprehensible. He tried to paint a picture as plainly and as clearly as he could about what this kingdom of God was all about. Because if people were going to follow him, they needed to have some idea of what it was they were moving toward. And Jesus was keen to say the kingdom of God was not a geographic place. It was a way of being, a realm that was entered by living into it. God's kingdom has the unique ability of being present in the same space we inhabit, even as we inhabit physical space. It's no wonder people of his time really struggled to imagine how these two realities, these two possibilities could exist, one in the same, side by side. The kingdom of God is like someone who plants and goes to sleep. And in this case, the planter is not God, because God is the acting agent in other parables. But in this case, the planter is a person, which would indicate that people did have a part to play in how the kingdom becomes present. Hear that, my friends. We have a part to play. And we do like that, because we tend to like being about doing. We set goals and we accomplish them. But in this case, the planter does very little, almost nothing. He sleeps. And in his absence, this seed takes on a life of its own. That is to say, the kingdom comes on its own timetable, in its own way. So for those who want to do, this parable can seem very confusing. Well, aren't we supposed to do, to go out, to make disciples? Aren't we supposed to find ways to reach out into the world and show Christ's love? This image sounds different. Sounds like the kingdom is on preset, and it's going to happen regardless of what we do. And that's the point Jesus is trying to make. God is at work. Always. When we are sleeping, when we rise, we do have a part to play, but God directs and God brings the growth. In this parable, one author notes, Jesus is calling us to a very different way of being with ourselves, with one another, with the divine, by asking us to recognize that spiritual growth and intimacy with God arise as naturally as seeds growing. The harvest will come without us having to work at it, because God adores us. And it is this love that has the power of growth. God's love comes, and it is an unstoppable force. And it comes, and it grows. And we can choose to be part of it or not. But who would not want to live in a kingdom so filled with love? How powerful is that love? Well, Jesus goes on to say, the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. One of the tiniest seeds that exists. And from that teeny beginning, it grows and grows and grows and spreads out its branches and gives shade and gives shelter. Jesus said that's what God's kingdom is like. A little love can grow into something very, very big and benefit so many. As an example, after playing in a pickup soccer game at a school in East Africa during the summer of 2015, Austin Copeland told his family that he was upset at what he had just seen on the playing field. Julie Copeland, his mother, said her middle school son told his family at dinner that night, the kids were really good, and they didn't even have any shoes. I think I can do something. Austin was on vacation with his extended family when he visited that school in Tanzania. When he returned home to the States, he set up donation boxes in the Abington Friends School in Jenkintown, Pennsylvania, as school started in the fall. He collected shoes from those boxes every week. His mother said shoes were also collected at Kol Ami Synagogue, from Hunter Soccer and other clubs, and at Holy Redeemer Hospital, as the extended Copeland family became involved. An initial goal of collecting 500 shoes was surpassed because the collection boxes just kept filling up. His mother said with a laugh, "My trunk was always filled with shoes." They finally had to cut it off. The result was that 3,000 new and used shoes collected pair by pair were gathered. And those shoes were sent and distributed to the students at the Tumanini Junior School in Tanzania. The students there were thrilled with the quality of the shoes and the benefits they would bring. Julie Copeland said her favorite part of the campaign was the learning that occurred. But for Austin, it was something different. He told his mother, and I'm interpreting here, with I think a little bit of awe and wonderment, "It was such a small idea. Look how big it became." Like the mustard seed, another essayist writes, "The followers of Jesus are a bunch of raggedy folk full of doubts, full of fears, unable to comprehend much of what Jesus says or does. So the question arises, could the reign of God really burst into history resting on these kinds of folk? The young, the off-putting, the ones nobody bothers to pay attention to. And with these parables, Jesus' answer is yes. The teeny seed from which the reign of God will become visible will be among the lowliest and the least, and it will spread with every little act of kindness, every little thoughtful gesture, every little smile, every little caring touch, every little offered prayer. It's the little things." And in those little things, the kingdom of God is among us even now. This is the mystery. And this is the joy. Amen and amen. It's not marked in the bulletin, but let us rise. It always seemed a little bit weird to me to talk about walking when we're sitting down. So please rise in body or in spirit and let us share hymn 817. People of God, let us affirm what it is we believe. We believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. We believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Lord, we like things big. Big makes us feel important. Big makes us feel proud. Big makes us feel worthwhile. We want to be like you, and we know that you are big, bigger than we could ever imagine. For you created everything. And we want to be big like you. We want to be powerful like you. And yet you taught us that power is not in the big. It is in love. So, Lord, in love, hear our prayers. What may seem to us as little is not little in your sight. For we offer our prayers in love and compassion and concern. Lord, on this day when we celebrate the role of Father, we pray for all the families of the earth, for those ties that bind, for the stresses that seek to drive families apart. We give you thanks for all the men who have fulfilled the role of father, whether it be by blood or love, for their examples of caring and compassion, for interest, for sharing the gifts and skills that they have given with others. Bless that role. For sometimes it seems to be under siege. It's hard for men to express compassion because our culture says you must be strong, not realizing that being resolute is strength. Being committed is strength. Watch over and guide and bless all of those who are guiding other young men into what it means to be a full person in the unique place they have in this world. We pray for fathers who must work far away so that they may provide for their families. We pray for those who have been shut out of their children's lives through circumstance or enmity. We pray for those who are raising children on their own. Uphold them, strengthen them, and guide them. We pray for families, Lord, that are separated by war, by government policies, by strife within the family. We know that your love weaves healing, and we pray for healing and strength. For when families are strong, the world is strong. Gracious God, hear our prayers for our leaders, that they may look again toward your way of compassion and understanding, of not fearing the meek but welcoming them. Help us as a nation to live into being our best selves. Great healer, heal those that we have heard of this day, who are recovering from surgery, who are awaiting surgery, who are awaiting test results, who are living with physical conditions that will not change. Bring your healing presence and bring your grace. Be with those who are missing fathers this day, or missing any loved one through death. Strengthen the ties that bind so that they may feel supported and loved. Lord, we still struggle to try to understand just what this kingdom of yours is all about. Open our hearts. Give us the courage to walk in it even though we may not understand it, to trust you and to trust the promises of yours that Jesus shared with us. We honor that head of our family by returning to you the prayer he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Give as you have made up your mind to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. God loves those who give from their heart. Ushers, please come forward to receive the morning offerings. Thank you. Let us